Welcome to the 3PL Summit. Today, we are joined by Matt Silver, co-founder and CEO of Cargado. Welcome to the summit, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
I'm very excited to get to today because, you know, cross-border is something that I've always loved, and it's definitely been a pretty popular thing lately. Before we get too far down that cross-border rabbit hole, let's get some background on you and kind of why you started Cargado.
Well, so I've been in logistics my entire life. I grew up around it, watching my dad build American backhaulers, and then I started at Coyote in 2007 as an intern. And during my time at Coyote, I ultimately ended up getting into the Mexico side of things, and I helped start that business. And that was about 10 years ago. And so ever since then, I've had this weird obsession with Mexico freight. And after building Forager, selling it to Arrive, and spending about 20 months at Arrive, I decided I want to go back to building technology again and realize that there's a lot of different parts of the cross-border freight process that brokers and carriers and shippers are handling that needs better technology in order to improve how they operate. And so I decided to start Cargado and start working on that process.
I think that needing more technology for cross-border freight might be the biggest understatement of the century, because it's having done some, I don't want to say it turns into a black hole, but it kind of turns into a black hole. Once it crosses the border, you lose all visibility. And then also coming in, thank you. On behalf of everyone, thank you for taking that bullet.
I'm excited to tackle it. And I've actually heard that exact phrase, black hole, used in reference to Mexico and everything at the border several times from different, you know, Fortune 500 shippers. And they see it as a big pain point for them. Freight brokers, especially as nearshoring starts to explode, I think a lot of freight brokers are going to start expanding into Mexico. We're seeing a lot of M&A on that side of things. And hopefully carriers will continue to grow with Mexico as well.
I mean, that's the dream. That's the dream. But we'll see what happens. Something has to change. So here's hoping that you guys have the solution. But can you really kind of break down what the current landscape of cross-border trade is? You know, is it obviously it's on its way up with nearshoring, but do you kind of just mind breaking down where it stands today?
Yes. So, well, first of all, everybody saw the news recently about the fact that Mexico became the number one trading partner for the United States. The momentum that started that whole process, I think, goes back several years ago when the USMCA became the update to NAFTA. And so what happened with that is that, let's take car parts, for example. The number of parts that went into a car under the NAFTA agreement said that it had to be 62.5%. That went up to 75% with the USMCA. And there was a lot of encouragement around moving things closer to home, moving things to North America for production and manufacturing. And we know that a lot of that moved to Mexico. And so the USMCA was kind of the first major milestone. And then the next thing that happened was the pandemic. And that scared the crap out of everybody and said, hey, maybe it's not so great to rely on Asia for manufacturing. And it's time to move things closer to home. I remember we had a customer at Forager that had been manufacturing filters in China. And when the pandemic happened, they pivoted quickly, bought a plant in Mexico and started producing in Mexico, but they had no idea how to get their freight out of there. And so we started helping them right away and helped them kind of smooth over that process. But that same thing's happening with a lot of other companies. And so the pandemic was the second piece that scared everybody. And then you also have the trade tension between the US and China. And so there's a lot of encouragement, especially with the CHIPS Act, which is moving semiconductor manufacturing to the United States. We'll see a lot of those supply chains start to move to Mexico as well. You're going to just continue to see a lot of benefits for companies to move to Mexico and out of Asia. And so I think it's just going to continue to explode. And seeing that number get to, I think it was almost $800 billion in trade last year between the US and Mexico, that's going to keep growing. And so we'll see that continue to skyrocket, especially as some of these massive plants like Tesla finally come to fruition. It's just going to keep growing.
I think 1 month last year, Mexico wasn't the top trading partner with the U.S., but I would be honestly shocked if they didn't go 12 for 12 this year, given that everyone who started, you know, setting up operations in the beginning of the year last year, well, now that freight's actually going to start moving with regularity. We're done past building things. It's built. We got to get those volumes moving. I love it. I'm here for it. We all remember the days of what I think it was like 107 ships waiting for berth. Like, gone are those days. And I'm glad that shippers who have been, you know, agile enough to switch things up have seen kind of some solutions. So we'll have to see what new host of problems happen when those volumes come, because I feel like it's going to result in some increased wait times at the border.
Yep. Well, there's a lot of investment going into the border crossing locations. Like in Laredo, for example, you've got a second bridge that a lot of people cross through, which is Columbia. And that's used for a combination of, you know, a decent amount of produce crosses through there, hazmat, oversized freight all crosses through there. But I think more and more we'll see some bigger shippers start to push their volume through that crossing because it's less congested than the international bridge. And so it's not going to be a matter of people switching to Del Rio or Eagle Pass if they're normally crossing through Laredo. Just be going through a more expanded bridge, either with the international bridge or with Columbia.
I would love for, I don't know if this is a thing, but I feel like it should be. Again, I don't know literally logistically how it would happen, but like, you know how when you go on the tolls, like on a toll road, you just have the little pass. I wish you could just scan it and just go through. Again, I don't think it's practical, but I feel like that should be a solution.
Well, so there's kind of something that works like that. So there's CTPAT, which is Customs Trade Partners Against Terrorism. And it was originally put in place by the U.S. government after 9/11 happened to protect the United States. And more recently, especially within supply chains, it's about keeping two kind of major things from coming into the United States illegally, which would be people and drugs. And so there's a lot of inspections that happen at the border, but the facilities in Mexico, the shippers in Mexico, the carriers in Mexico that participate in the CTPAT program that creates a more secure supply chain, they move across the border faster. And if you have a fast certification, you can also get across the border faster, but it's still not the same as Canada. In addition to the fact that most of the carriers that are moving the loads across the border do a handoff, whether it's in Nuevo Laredo or Laredo, there's not usually one driver that goes all the way through. And so even if you had a faster way to get across the border, with a few exceptions, you're still doing a handoff and you're still potentially waiting a little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of the one downside. It always interests me just how different things are between different countries. And I kind of love it because it's like everyone has their own unique thing that they do. And, you know, because I did a lot of Canada cross border. And so when I learned that there was a handoff person from Mexico, I was like, what? That's kind of cool. But yeah, so I guess when it comes to, you know, I'm 3PL, my shipper's looking to get involved, or maybe they're looking to increase their presence or just kind of improve things with Mexico. What role does that 3PL play in facilitating that cross-border trade? Because I know some have gone so far as to open, you know, their own warehouse, a couple, like their own customs brokerage, a couple miles from the border. So I guess not everyone has millions of dollars to open that facility, but what role does that 3PL play?
Well, so there's a few different parts that are involved in a cross-border shipment. And there's customs brokers, there's potentially a warehouse if you're transloading. But then there's also the trucking companies that are moving the freight. And most freight brokers and 3PLs are you know, solely focused on the actual transportation piece. The customer, the actual beneficial cargo owner of the goods, is going to be the one that's going to hire the customs broker. In some cases, especially when you look at some of the managed transportation providers like Ryder, like Uber Freight's Transplace division, they have customs brokerage in-house and they provide that full end-to-end managed transportation solution. And oftentimes that freight might get piped out to a broker that's actually managing the freight. And so when a shipper's thinking about their transportation, they're usually separating that from customs. And so thinking about the 3PL supporting freight moving across the border, it boils down to a few things. One is everybody's looking for good service. Even if they're looking to reduce pricing, they're still typically not going to sacrifice service for a better price. They want to make sure that their loads aren't going to get stuck at the border for ridiculous amounts of time because somebody didn't organize the paperwork the right way. Somebody didn't communicate the information for the paperwork. The team didn't have anybody that spoke Spanish that could talk to the customs broker. You've got to be able to handle all those different parties. And so any 3PL that's investing in cross-border freight is going to be able to hopefully be able to support this type of business for a shipper. And the reason why you don't see shippers completely focusing on just going to capacity and going directly to the carriers is because a lot of them don't want to deal with all those problems at the border. And a lot of carriers aren't built to support a lot of that customer service side of things. And so it's more advantageous for the carrier to work through a lot of these brokers because they don't have to deal with everything going on at the border besides turning in the paperwork or getting the paperwork and crossing. And for the 3PL, or for the shipper rather, to work with the 3PL or broker, it makes more sense because they can centralize more of those operations under one team, even with multiple carriers. And so that's where I think that brokers will continue to be a big part of cross-border freight and play an integral part in it. But it all depends on kind of how complex the operation ultimately.
I like that. I like that aspect of, you know, the intermediary will truly earn its stripes as the intermediary, having to deal with everything. Because also, if I was a carrier, I wouldn't want to do that. I would just want to hand over my paperwork and say, I'm done. Have a nice day.
Yeah, there's so many WhatsApp messages and text messages and emails that go back and forth about every single load, and it's such a mess. And the communication streams on a single load could be handled in three different WhatsApp groups. There's the operations team to the customer, there's the operations team to the carrier, the operations team with the customs broker. There's also potentially carrier sales rep talking to the carrier. So that it's all happening in different places, and it's at different cadences and different times. And so a lot of that gets filtered for the customer. And it gets consolidated in some places and in some systems, as long as you've got the right software for that. But yeah, it can definitely, there can be a lot of headaches that can come up if you're not organized or if you don't have a clear understanding of how it works.
So I usually say that it's 2024, we should stop running our supply chains on Excel, but it sounds like it's 2024, we're running our supply chains on WhatsApp.
It's very heavily WhatsApp. There is a lot of Excel too, or like shared sheets and all that stuff, because a lot of TMSs don't support the information that's involved at the border. And so you end up seeing a lot of brokers that are using spreadsheets to manage details that just don't fit into a traditional TMS. And so I think that's where... Yeah, it's WhatsApp, it's Sheets or Google or Excel or whatever. It's in so many different places. It's a bunch of sticky notes all over people's desks. I was in a carrier's office the other day, and they had to pull up a few details about some of their partner carriers in Mexico, and it was literally lined yellow notebook paper taped to the side of the guy's desk that had all the different carriers and the unique identifiers for each of them. None of that stuff is in any sort of system right now.
Honestly, that's entirely on brand for cross-border freight. Like most TMSs I've worked with on a good day can handle Canada until too many letters get in the zip code. Then it's like, I don't know about that. But that is the most on brand for Mexico I think I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean, when I first got into Mexico freight, we were still communicating with drivers with a Nextel phone. So if you like before that, there weren't a lot.
That's like the walkie-talkie phone, yeah, right?
I remember at Coyote on the Mexico team, we bought a Nextel phone in Chicago to be able to communicate with the drivers in Mexico and with some of the carriers in Mexico. Now things have evolved definitely with WhatsApp and email and drivers having smartphones in Mexico now and carriers having smartphones. So everybody's got either an iPhone or an Android at this point. But 10 years ago, 2014, 2015, I remember people were still using Nextel.
Single-handedly keeping Nextel in business.
Oh, for sure.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. If anyone has any questions about, you know, the future of cross-border freight or anything, where can they find you outside the summit?
Oh, all over Twitter and LinkedIn. Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, you'll find me.
I think it's officially X, formerly known as Twitter, but everyone still calls it Twitter. So I guess it wasn't a very successful rebranding.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and stay tuned for the rest of the amazing content we have coming for the summit.
Thank you.